Welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we are learning Masechet Megillah. We are at the bottom of 12b, that's Daf Yud Bet Amud Bet. And we are three lines up from where the lines are medium skinny. It's about 75% of the way down the page. And we are continuing to darshan, almost word for word, but certainly verse for verse, the words of the Megillah in the first chapter. So at the end of Ahasuerus's party, he has decided, he wasn't sure what to do with Vashti, and he sought advice from his advisors, and his advisor, Memuchan, suggested that Vashti be removed from her throne in order to send the message, L'hiyot kol ish sorer b'veito, which is the section that we are going to explicate right now. So that every man should be a ruler, the word sorer means to have srara, Liot kol ish sorer veto, to have srara, to have absolute power over his own house. So this was sent out as a royal decree to all 127 provinces of Ahasuerus that every man should be the ruler of his own home. Amar Rava. Rava says something about this which I think is a fascinating insight. Il male igrot harishonot, were it not for the first letters, in other words, these letters that were sent out that said every man should be ruler over his own house, lo nishtayer misonehen shel Yisrael saridu palit, there would not have been left of the enemies of Israel, not a remnant or a survivor. Now, first things you have to understand, when the Gemara talks about sonehen shel Yisrael, the enemies of Israel, they actually mean Israel. It's just a euphemism. They don't want to say something terrible about the Jewish people, so they call them the enemies of Israel, but they really mean Israel. Or perhaps they're suggesting that we are our own worst enemies. So what Rava is saying is that had it not been for these first letters that were sent out, the Jewish people would never have survived. How is that going to work out? Well, let's look at the Gemara. Omri, the people, when they got these letters from the king, they said, "My high, what is this? The Shadirlan that he is sending to us. Liot kol ish sorer veto. He's sending us this new legislation, a royal proclamation that every man should be a ruler of his own house. This letter made Ahasuerus look very foolish. Like, who is this king that sends out such ridiculous legislation? He's a fool. Now, there are different ways that you could read it. We'll see. The Gemara is going to say, Pshita, this is obvious. Afilu karcha bevete, even a lowly laborer in his own house, pardash chalihave, he's like a sultan, or not a sultan, but at least a high-ranking official. So the way the Gemara understands it is, of course, every man is the ruler of his own household. I don't need a royal decree to tell me that a man is the ruler of his own household. This king is obviously an idiot. I think you could read it another way also, which is that any man who has to send out a letter to his whole kingdom saying that every man should have the right to be the ruler of his own household is obviously not the ruler of his own household. Methinks the king doth protest too much. And he made him an object of ridicule, that he's in a way advertising to the whole country that he is not the ruler of his own household. Or perhaps on some level, it's an idiotic thing to say. Everybody knows that men have their sources of power and women have their sources of power. And to make a ruling that that men should rule in every way is just not the reality of the world as anyone experienced it then or now. But in any case, Rava's understanding is that these first letters made the king look ridiculous. And because the first letters made the king look ridiculous, his later letters were not taken so seriously. Now, Rashi says that when they got the later letters, which said they should kill the Jews, but only on the 14th of Adar, because they didn't take the king seriously, they didn't really think the date was so serious. So some of them rushed off to kill the Jews right away, and some rushed off a couple weeks later. And because they were so disorganized and all over the place, they never were able to create a unified military front, and therefore the Jewish people were able to defeat their enemies. That's a very strange reading. I don't totally understand it. I think it's more likely that a lot of people just didn't follow the king's orders because they already thought he was ridiculous. So not everybody joined the army and went to fight the Jews on the 14th of Adar, so that weakened their military presence. In any case, that's Rava's understanding that these first letters, this foreshadowing, this first chapter, actually influenced the later part of the story, even though we haven't even met all the main characters in the Megillah yet. Okay, the next line of the Megillah is V'afked ha-melech pikidim, and now we are on the bottom wide lines. So after the king remembered Vashti, and she wasn't around anymore, and he remembered that he liked her and that he wanted to have a queen, he sent out messengers to gather up all the virgins in the kingdom so that he could choose a new queen. Amar Rav. So Rav says, "My dichtiv, how shall we understand this verse?" He's choosing a verse from Mishle, chapter 13, verse 16, which is going to explain, or it's going to compare Ahasuerosh to David. Here's the verse. The verse says, "Kol arum, any person who is crafty, who's smart, yasevidat, he acts with wisdom. Uchsil, but a fool, yifros ivelet, he spreads out his foolishness." Okay, so kol arum yasevidat. Who is a smart person that acts with wisdom? Ze David. This is David. Dichtiv, as it is written, at the end of David's life, he was elderly and infirm, and he couldn't get warm. So his servant said to him, "Vayomer lo avadav." His servant said to him, "Vakshu l'aduni ha-melech na'ara v'tula. Let us find a young maiden to warm the bed of the aged King David." And they went out and found this most beautiful woman, Avishag Shunamit, who was a companion to David at the end of his life. So the Gemara says, "Kol man dahavale barta." Any person that had a daughter, Barta is a daughter, Aita Nihale, they brought her to him because they knew the king was going to choose, or the king's servants were going to choose one girl to be the consort of the king, and everybody wanted that honor for their family. So everybody was interested in being chosen. However, Uxil Yifros Ivelet, a fool advertises his foolishness, Ze Achashverosh, this is Achashverosh, as it is written, Dichtiv, V'yafkeda melech pikidim, that the king sent out officers. Kol man dahavele barta, anyone who had a daughter, Itam ramine, they hid from him, or they ran away from him. Because they knew that the way Achashverosh was going to choose a queen is he was going to take all the women in the kingdom, he would sleep with each one until he got to the one that he liked. So nobody wanted their daughter to have to go through that experience when the odds were so low that she would be chosen. Plus, now that she was with the king, she can't get married like a normal girl anymore. So nobody really wanted their daughter to be taken to the royal harems. So while David had it did it in a way that was smart and that people could get on board with, Ahasuerosh did it in a way that is obviously very self-centered and counterproductive. Okay, the end of the third wide line. We now are now in the beginning of chapter 2 of the Megillah. We finally meet Mordechai, and here's what it says about Mordechai. Ish Yehudi haya. There was a Jewish man, Bishushan Habira, in Shushan the capital, and then it gives us his lineage. Ushmo Mordechai, and his name was Mordechai, ben Yair ben Shim'i ben Kish Ish Yemini. He was the son of Yair, the son of Shim'i, the son of Kish, and he was a Ish Yemini, a right-handed man, which could mean a righteous man, or it could mean that he was, as the Gemara will understand, from the tribe of Binyamin, of Benjamin, who are known as the Yemini. So the Gemara has his first question, though. My ka'amar, what is this verse trying to say? I liyichusa ka'ate, if it is coming to establish Mordechai's yichus, his lineage, lichseva azalad binyamin, so let it tell it us his full lineage. It's already telling us ben Yair, ben Shimi, ben Kish. Just keep going until you get back to Binyamin and say, ben Binyamin. Ella Maishna, rather it must be teaching something else. What is it coming to teach us? Hane Tana Kulan al Shemo. This is not really telling us his lineage, it's telling us about his personality, his personal characteristics. Nikru ben Yair, it calls him the son of Yair, not that he's biologically the son of Yair, but that he is a person with the characteristics of Yair. What does that mean? Ben Sheheir Enehem Shel Yisrael Bitilato. He was a person who illuminated the eyes of the Jewish people with his prayer. Okay, Ben Shimi doesn't mean that he was the son of Shimi, but he was a Ben Sheshama El Tfilato, a person that Hashem listened to his prayers. Ben Kish, what does it mean that he was the son of Kish? Shehikish al Sha'are Rachamim Veniftuchulo, that he knocked on the doors of mercy and they were open to him. So all three of these seem to indicate that he was a very powerful advocate for the Jewish people through his prayer. Okay, now then the Gemara goes on and says, Kare le Yehudi, it calls him a Jew, Alma Yehuda Ka'ati, therefore he must come from the tribe of Judah, because Yehudi means you come from Yehuda. But then it says, Vekare le Ishimini, or Vekare le Yemini, it calls him a Yemini, and that Alma, therefore, Mi Binyamin Ka'ati, he must come from the tribe of Binyamin. So which is it? Is he a Benjaminite or a Judahite? Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Mordechai muhtar benimuso haya. Mordechai was crowned with his nimus. It's unclear what this means. Rashi says that he was crowned with many names. I don't know how that answers the question, meaning we know that we already suggested that he had many personal characteristics, so he was known as Yair or Kish or Shimi, but I don't know how that answers the question that he was crowned with many names, unless he's meaning he had the name of Judah, he had the name of Binyamin, but that doesn't help us answer the question. Rabbeinu Hananel says that he was Mitsuyan Bidate Kol HaTorah, that he had many characteristics, religious characteristics. So perhaps, as we'll see later, maybe neither Yehudi nor Yemini are coming to tell us what tribe he comes from, but they are part of his personal characteristics, that Yehudi is a person who is grateful to God or perhaps rejects idolatry, and Yemini is a person who's upright. In any case, that's the first answer, is that Mordechai had many accolades that were given to him. Nimus, in that case, would mean his personal habits or his way of dealing with people were something that gave him a shem tov, a good name. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Rabba Bar Bar Chana says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Aviv mi Binyamin v'imo mi Huda. Okay, he was really a mixed tribe child. His father was a Benjaminite and his mother was a Judahite. V'rabbanan amri, so the rabbis say, that's true. Mishpachot mitgarot zu bezu, the families would fight with each other about who could take credit for Mordechai. Mishpachad Yehuda, the family of Judah, omeret ana garim demisyale Mordechai, we're the ones who caused Mordechai to be born, because he comes from us. How? Delo katle David l'Shimi ben Gera, because David didn't kill Shimi ben Gera. This is a strange story, but Shimi ben Gera cursed the king, and therefore he was liable for death, but David spared his life. And then the Gemara here, I think, is assuming that because David didn't kill Shimi, that Mordechai was descended from Shimi, and therefore he was born. But he didn't do anything. In fact, he tried to get himself killed, so it's a little bit of a strange proof. Mishpacha Binyamin, the family of Binyamin, Amra Minai Ka'ati, from me he came. So basically everybody wanted to take credit for Mordechai. Rava Amar, and I'm on the end of the second line up from the bottom, Rava says slightly differently, Knesset Yisrael Amra Le'idach Gisa. The congregation of Israel argued the opposite direction. Idach Gisa means the other side. They looked at it in a negative way. Re'u ma'asali Yehudi, look at what this Jew did to me. Umashi leim li Yemini, and what has been repaid to me by this Benjaminite. So these are both negatives. Ma'asali Yehudi, what did this Jew do to me? Delo katle David l'shimi, di'ityaled mine Mordechai. David should have killed Shimi, and he didn't. David didn't kill Shimi, even though he could have, because Shimi cursed David. And then Shimi, disyalid mine Mordechai, Mordechai came from the lineage of Shimi. Then what did Mordechai do? Demikne be Haman, he made Haman jealous, or he provoked Haman, and that caused all these problems. Umashilem li Yemini, and what did the Benjaminite do to me? Delo katle Shaul Agag, Shaul the king, King Saul, didn't kill Agag, he was supposed to kill Agag the Amalekite. The Isyalid Mine Haman, and from Agag, who was an Amalekite, was born Haman, another Amalekite, De Mitzaer Li Israel, who caused all this pain to Israel. I don't totally understand this proof either, because Agag does get killed by Shmuel, so he doesn't go on to have additional children. But in any case, I think the Knesset Yisrael is arguing that if they had a time machine, they would have gone back and made sure that Shimi was killed and Agag was killed before they could give birth to Haman and Mordechai, and then the Purim story would never have happened. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan argues differently. He says differently. Le'ola mibinyamin kati. He says, no, in fact, Mordechai comes from the tribe of Binyamin. Va'amai kari le'Yehudi, so then why does it call him Yehudi, a Jew? So we're going to understand now that a Jew is not just someone from a tribe of Judah, that we are all the Jewish people. Starting around the time of the Megillah, Jews began to be known as Yehudim, whereas before they were known as B'nai Yisrael or Yisraelim or Knesset Yisrael or Knesset Yaakov, all these different names, but they started to be known as Jews around this time. Al shum shekafar be'avodah zarah, because they rejected idol worship. Shekol ha'kofer be'avodah zarah, anybody who rejects idol worship, nikra Yehudi, is called a Jew. Ki dichtiv, as it is written, and this is in the book of Daniel about Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, iti guvrin Yehudain, there were these Jewish people, these Jewish men. So those Jewish men are Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. There's a whole discussion about whether or not they were from the tribe of Judah, but according to the opinion that they were not, they were known as Yehudim because they refused to bow down to the idol of Nebuchadnezzar. They rejected idolatry. And in some ways, on a fundamental level, what it means to be a Jew is to reject the concept of idolatry and polytheism of many gods, and to fully embrace Hashem as the one and only God. Okay, we're going to stop there on the last skinny line of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and we'll continue next time. Have a wonderful day.